My name is Hilda Satran. This is my U R Neuro story about how Rick and I came to the U of R Medical School. Okay. In 1958, the armed services were short of doctors, so young residents like my husband Rick Satran were inducted into the service. It was called the Berry Plan then, not Doctor Draft, because Berry Plan sounded a little better. He was in Ann Arbor, having finished 2 years, and then found himself an Army captain. We were, after 6 weeks in Texas, we found ourselves at Fort Bragg, and there we met a psychiatrist, Sandy Meyerowitz, and his family, who were also stationed there under similar orders. Sandy told Rick that he worked as in the psychiatry department at the UR Medical Center, and he knew that there were a few neurologists there who could together make the nucleus of a neurology department. They were talking about a neurology department at that time. So Rick needed to finish his 2 years in the Army and then his last year at Ann Arbor, but he'd be looking for a job after that. And he thought Rochester sounded like a wonderful opportunity. He interviewed at the U of R, was hired as an instructor as of July 1st, 1962. I think his initial title was instructor. He became an assistant professor, but I believe he was an instructor first. He was going to be reading and teaching EEG to residents under Dr. Paul Romano, chair of psychiatry, and he'd be seeing neurology patients under Dr. Lawrence Young in medicine, Department of Medicine. I think at that time, medicine released a few beds of their own when they weren't full to the neurology patients, inpatients. We were very delighted with the salary of $7,000 a year after $150 a month as a resident. When we came, Rick found Dr. Garvey to be, Dr. Garvey was here, and David Goldblatt was here, David Marsh was here at that time, three neurologists. He found Dr. Garvey to be a remarkable clinician, and he worked very well with the two other neurologists. He was very happy with the unusually collegial atmosphere, which, as far as I know, is present even now. Rick believed that taking a thorough history from the patient was one of the most important skills of a physician, and that although testing was useful, listening to the patient's own stories conferred the best understanding of whatever had gone wrong. Although David Goldblatt was especially interested in ALS patients, they were all general neurologists. They saw everyone, they saw everything. There were no movement disorder specialists or epileptologists. The emphasis here on this biopsychosocial model fit perfectly with Rick's core beliefs in learning about the patient's lives and how their history informed a diagnosis. Rick was working long hours and bringing home EEGs to read after dinner. Each EEG at that time was printed out on a huge ream of heavy folded paper, so Rick came home every night with weighty satchels of EEGs to read and write his reports. Then he'd bring them all back again the next morning. Dr. Garvey retired, I think it was in 1964, and many people may not remember that Forbes, or Ted, as he was called, Ted Norris, was hired as acting chief of this budding potential neurology department for a year or two. Ted's signal accomplishment during his short tenure was to have Lord Brain, which was his real name, accept Norris's invitation to Rochester. Lord Brain was the personification of British neurology at that time. For Norris, who was leading an upstart little group of neurologists, to be able to attract the eminent Lord Brain for a few days of paper presentations and teaching was a considerable feat. In 1966, Dr. Robert Joit was brought in to become chief of what was to be a real department of neurology. Rick remembered Dr. Joit as one of his board examiners and was delighted with Bob's new appointment. Rick was no longer working half in psychiatry and half in medicine, was now truly one-fourth of the new Department of Neurology. Rick worked here for many years and was always delighted to be a part of this growing department.